Jesus expresses it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17, which can be found on page 1034 in the Chapel Bibles. And really ask a question that's asked in this text, but maybe in a different way, where Jesus was asked, why don't your disciples fast? And I'd like us to think about that today in a kind of the theme of longing for the bridegroom. Longing for the bridegroom. So Matthew 9, verses 14 through 17, hear the word of the Lord. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. Let's pray and ask God's blessing. God, our Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would bless us as we do spend this time under your word. And I pray, Father, that here at RPTS, that you would bless us and that our knowledge would cause us to love you more and experience you more here in this seminary rather than leading us away from you. Bless us to that holy end, Father, I pray, in Christ. Amen. Well, I think we could see really a lesson here that Jesus is basically saying to us is this: fasting and praying is like waiting for a wedding. Fasting and praying is like waiting for a wedding, waiting for the bridegroom to come. Having just seen my daughter go through a wedding a month or two ago, I can tell you for the months leading up to that, there was a lot of longing, a lot of anticipation, a lot of planning, a lot of desires that were ultimately fulfilled on the day when she walked down the aisle to her groom. And better yet, we might even say it this way, fasting is like the bride longing for the wedding and yet bringing it more sooner because of her longings. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to experience communion with him in a way that only really prayer and fasting can bring. And so as we're going to look at this today, fasting is not presented here as something to bind you up, to fall into old habits and old ways, but it's really to bring new life and new things to you. And it's like what Jonathan Edwards said, our hungerings and our thirstings after God and Jesus Christ and after holiness can't be too great for the value of these things, for they are things of infinite value. There is no such thing as excess in our taking of spiritual food. There is no virtue in temperance when it comes to spiritual feasting. We are to long for Jesus. And one of the ways that we show that we long for Jesus, desire to have deeper experiences with Jesus, is we seek him out through prayer and fasting. Well, how do we become like that? How do we grow in a bride-like desire to enjoy Jesus more fully? How do we put on our lips the words like the bride in the Song of Solomon? Listen, my beloved, behold, he's coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. How do we show an anticipation for Christ in our own souls through fasting? Well, we're going to treat it this way: fasting expected, fasting explained, and fasting experienced here in these moments together. Fasting expected. It's pretty clear the disciples of John the Baptist thought Jesus' disciples should be fasting, and they were not. Matter of fact, at this point, they're doing quite the opposite. They're at a party, and they're enjoying a private party at someone's home. And these guys couldn't quite understand what's going on with Jesus' disciples. I mean, they were disciples of John the Baptist, You can imagine what that would have been like. Dressed in camel hair, locusts for breakfast, an austere type of following of their master. And so they expected, as they had undoubtedly done many a time, that the disciples of Jesus would fast. But Jesus says they're not going to do that now because the bridegroom's here. I'm here with them. They don't need to fast. But then notice what he says in verse 15. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. There is an expectation at the right time that the disciples of Christ will fast. And really, the views here expressed by John's disciples and then Jesus' words really put before us the two types of fasting that you see in this world. There is the fasting that is done to be seen, that feeds our pride. And then there's the fasting that's done to seek God, that feeds our soul. The fasting that is done to be seen by men, to feed our pride, versus the kind of fasting that I think Jesus has in mind here, that is done to seek the Lord in order that our souls might be fed. The first type of fasting really represents us going back to salvation by works, justifying ourselves by works. The other is understanding that we live by faith and we're seeking the grace of the Lord. The first kind of fasting is man-centered. The second type of fasting is Christ-centered. And it's that kind of fasting that Jesus wants his disciples to participate in, that second type of fasting. And earlier in this book, in Matthew 6, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus just assumes we're going to fast. He says, whenever you fast. And then he instructs us how to do it, that we're to do it not openly where people are seeing us and we go around looking like we're fasting by the way that we're dressed and in our manner, but that we go to the Lord in secret because it's really not man's attention that we want, but we want our Heavenly Father's attention. Donald Whitney, in his book Spiritual Discipline, says, until the ascended bridegroom returns for his bride, fasting is a spiritual discipline that his disciples will occasionally practice. And so there's just this expectation. He goes on to talk about throughout church history, through other parts of the world, it's very common to see Christians fasting. But here in the U.S., where we're so comfortable and life is so easy, it's easy for us not to hunger and thirst after God, as we just sang in Psalm 63. It's Jesus' expectation that you will hunger for him and thirst for him enough that you will fast. That's fasting expected. Now, fasting explained a little further. Here he uses in verses 16 and 17 two metaphors. And when you understand the metaphor, you grasp why Jesus is using it. And I'm not sure this current generation would understand the first metaphor he uses in verse 16 when he talks about putting a patch on a piece of garment. You know, when I was growing up and I got holes in my jeans, my mom didn't just go buy a new pair. She bought patches and she sewed them on to the jeans. You guys, your generation goes out and buys jeans with holes in them already. And so I don't know if you really understand what a patch is. But clearly the imagery Jesus is giving us here is if you're going to patch a piece of garment, you can't put on a fresh piece of material onto that knee, if there's a hole in the knee, because that fresh piece of material, when washed, will start shrinking. The threads will pull, and you're going to end up with a bigger hole than the one that you started with. And so that's no good. You don't want to be doing that. And he gives a second similar illustration with old wineskins. You can't put new wine in there because the old wineskin, if it's made of leather, gets brittle. If you put the new wine in and it continues to ferment some, it's just going to cause that old leather to burst. And what Jesus is telling us here is when it comes to this whole idea of fasting, He's not asking us to try to fit him into some of our old ways and our old forms of doing things. That's certainly what he was telling this group of people. By the time that the disciples of John are coming to him, and of course they are influenced by the Pharisees, notice they raise that question, why do we and the Pharisees are trying to keep up with the Pharisees? Why do we fast and you are not? And the Pharisees were really fasting. Remember in the parable Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican in the temple, the Pharisee, as he's praying, I always like how it says there, he's praying to himself. He's not really praying to God, and he's justifying himself, as the scriptures say. He said he was fasting twice a week. Well, where did he get that from? He certainly didn't get it out of the Old Testament. The only requirement in the Old Testament in terms of how often you should fast was just once a year on the Day of Atonement. There was a great freedom in the Old Testament to fast when you wanted to seek God at a certain time. And so we see that this, again, this emphasis on being seen in our fasting, because these men were feeding their pride with this self-righteousness, and that is not the way of the gospel. Jesus says in verse 17, new wine is to be put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. And this fasting in Jesus' teaching is to hunger after him, to seek after him, to expect the Lord to pour fresh measures of his grace, fresh outworkings of his Spirit into our lives so that we can experience Christ and we can see the hand of God moving in our life and moving in our generation when we meet obstacles and times of frustration and times of wanting to overcome sin, and how the Lord desires to give himself more to us as his people. He is the Lord who chose to do his first miracle. Where? At a wedding. And what did he do there? He supplied wine. He wants his people filled with joy and the life that he came to bring to us. And so fasting, if you do it, it's either going to be this religious rite where you're feeding your self-righteousness, or this glorious discipline that the Lord has given to us, that we might taste further of heaven, that we might say to God, please send to me your bridegroom and let me experience him anew in my life. And it doesn't matter how long I've been a Christian. If I've been a Christian for a year or 5 years or some of us 40 years, that we can have fresh experiences with the living God of heaven in our life. That's what he desires for us as his people. And so that's fasting explained, that the Lord wants you to know of his love, and he wants you to be deepened in your joy and experience of him. So how do we experience it? Fasting experienced. How do you go about fasting and prayer? Let me give you five simple admonitions. First, get hungry. Get hungry. Again, fasting is this Christian discipline that has been practiced throughout church history. Again, some of our brothers and sisters here from other parts of the world, this is more of a common practice of their experience. They see people around them doing this. We don't see it as much. We don't hear it spoken of and preached on in our churches here in the United States. Again, we're lulled to sleep in our spirituality often because of our comforts around us. But if you fast and pray, Jesus comes to you and he begins changing things. Maybe that's what we don't like, the changes he brings to us in our comforts, to our congregations and our old rituals and traditions. We don't like the change, but being with Jesus just means that he wants to bring change to you. And he's got glorious promises, such as, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And fasting is one of those ways to shed our other appetites and to seek the Lord alone. Fasting puts a heart and a hunger in our praying that we need. Secondly, make a plan. Not only get hungry, but make a plan. Again, having gone through a wedding, they don't happen by accident. There's a lot of planning that takes place in order for a wedding to be pulled off. And you're not just going to fast just by waking up one day and thinking, maybe I'll do that today. Maybe you will, but that rarely happens. If you want to meet with God, then make an appointment to meet with God and set a day apart where you are going to seek Him. And this is one of the encouragements I really want to give to you as you embark on the spring quarter. A number of you are pursuing pastoral calls, you're going through exams, you're thinking about your future. A lot of you are discouraged because of certain things that have happened in your life. Others of you may have felt that your love and your joy have been drying up here, and you just need to go and seek the Lord. So as you embark on this new quarter, I'm not going to make you do this. That would be unbiblical. But I could persuade and encourage you. Why not put a day on your calendar this quarter when you're going to set a day aside to really seek after Jesus and what you want in your life for Him to do? Thirdly, change your diet. Change your diet. Tozer says religious entertainment is in many places rapidly crowding out the serious things of God. So many of God's people are in places where they're not serious about the Lord. And though hopefully that's not true of where we worship, it can still impact us and affect us that we long for entertainment. We're living in this day where we can't get away from that smartphone and meditating on whatever app I happen to have open at the time. And we just need to get rid of all those things of time. And just you and the scriptures and the Lord, go seek Him. And show the Lord that you want to turn your appetite away from entertainment and news and really hunger for personal growth in some area, some step of sanctification that you want to make, some victory over a besetting sin, some answer for prayer that you've been praying but you need more earnestness behind it, some direction of God that you want to see, some working of the Holy Spirit in your congregation. Seek the Lord by fasting and changing your diet. Fourthly, when it comes to fasting, you build up to it. It's probably not wise to start off with a 40-day fast, or maybe even a 3-day one. Fasting is much like weightlifting. If you're a scrawny kid, you can't go in the gym and start bench pressing 200 pounds. It's just not going to work. You got to build up to the weights. And in many ways, fasting is a discipline that takes time to grow into. So start where you are and build up from there. Miss a meal or two and see how that goes and learn from it and then see if you can go longer than that. And then finally, expect God's visitation. He is a Lord who loves to pour that new wine into fresh hearts. Jonathan Edwards was asked by a young lady who had been converted and professed her faith publicly, could you give me some advice on how to grow in my Christian life? Well, you can imagine what that letter was like. It had 17 items in it. But item number 14 read this way. Under special difficulties, or when in great need of, or great longing after any particular mercy for yourself or others, set apart a day for secret prayer and fasting by yourself alone. Yes, good, wise words given to a new convert. But these are words that some of us older Christians need to hear as well. Seek God in secret, and you will find Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for our Lord. and for the life that he loves to give to us. He is truly a fount for our souls. And we pray that rather than drinking sparingly from him, that we would drink deeply and enjoy him. And Father, that our studies here at RPTS would not get in the way of that, but Father, lead us into a deeper experience of it. Bless us to that end, Father, we pray. In Christ we ask. Amen. We'll conclude by singing Psalm 27b. Please stand.